Good morning, everyone. It is Dave Weiner here. It is Monday, July 13th, 2015. And I wanted to pick up on an idea that is the theme of Melody Kramer's piece that just appeared on the Nieman Lab website. And I've been talking with Melody on and off for the last month or so, and I've done an interview with her that is going to be in her column in Pointer tomorrow, and it's really long, and it's got a lot of stuff in it. And what I've discovered is that, well, first, she comes from NPR, and, you know, NPR occupies a very special place in my heart, because, well, first of all, I'm a lifetime listener of NPR. I've always been, whatever city I've lived in, I've contributed to the local NPR station, and it's what I listen to in the morning. I often listen to podcasts that come from NPR when I'm out and about in the city. I don't drive these days, so it's not when I'm driving, but when I have had a car, it's what I listen to when I'm in traffic. And NPR was an early, let's say NPR was the early adopter of podcasting. Without NPR, I doubt if podcasting would have become anything remotely like what it is today. And it was thanks to Tony Khan at WGBH in Boston that that all got started. And Tony was a guy who a lot of people in public media listened to, and also with PRX, which started up out of Berkman Center, which is where we were doing a lot of the early work on podcasting, and the organizing happened at BloggerCons, which also happened at Harvard when in the, 2003-2004 time frame. So NPRX turned into another part of NPR, basically, another distribution system for NPR. And so NPR has been really instrumental in this, and so very important in terms of the support that they've provided, but also incredibly frustrating in not picking up on the vision and sort of trying to hold everything constant while the world around it was completely reconfiguring itself. And along comes Melody Kramer, and she's arrived at more or less exactly the same place I've arrived in terms of her conclusions, from a different route, from inside of NPR. And I don't really know her that well, but I hope to get to know her a lot better. But she's thinking about this stuff in the right way. And she's puts very well, can we get beyond the tote bags and pledge drives? And see, that's the key question. She really focused right in on it, is that as far as public radio is concerned, our job is to give them money and to appreciate their work. But that isn't really what's going on. What's going on is that the ability to create media is something that has, basically, it's something that everybody has. I'm creating media right now by simply talking into the voice memo app on my iPhone, and when I'm done talking, I'll press a button, and it will be uploaded onto my computer, and from there, I will put it on a server on Amazon and link to it from my blog, and that's it. It's done. So the production and publication of basically the kind of programming that NPR does is now in the hands of the people. And it wasn't always so. It was glitchy at the beginning. That was the big hard part of getting podcasting off the ground, was to somehow coax out of tech the ease of use that was inherent in it that had not yet been delivered. It was a question that sort of fell on deaf ears in the tech industry, too, when asked the question, well, how are we going to give people the ability to create their own radio? They go, well, people don't create their own radio. And I go, well, yeah, but don't you see that's what we do? We give people the tools to create media. And that's been the story of tech since as long as I've been involved in it. And that's been the thing that interested me in it, is that I just love to create media, and I love not having anybody get in the way of me doing that. So, to me, that's what tech represents. the ability to do that. So I just tell you a little story. It goes back in probably 2004. I was living in Boston at the time, commuting from out in the suburbs into Cambridge, and I was listening to WBUR. I think it was on the Mass Pike, probably. I don't remember exactly. One of the highways, bumper to bumper, you know, typical situation in the Boston area. And they're doing their pledge drive, and the president of WBUR, you know, WGBH is the more famous of the Boston public radio stations, but actually the one that everybody listens to is WBUR, and so it's the big one in the Boston area. So I was listening to WBUR, and the CEO or president or whatever, top person, gets on, and she's talking about how this is your station, that when you give money to WBUR, this is your station you're giving money to. And so I decided, since I do give money, and since this is now, I'm now being told that this is my station, I decided to call up WBUR when I got to the office, and I wanted to talk to the president. And I said, well, okay, since this is my radio station, I'd like to do some radio. I mean, you know, if I owned a radio station, that would be what I would do. I would do radio. And I meant to challenge them on this, is that this is while podcasting is just getting started. And we've got this whole idea that everybody's going to be doing this stuff. And maybe by asking the question, but no. I mean, what happened was they sent me, and they didn't understand the question. They said, well, yes, it is your station, and please send us money. I said, yes, I've sent you money, and I would be happy to send you more money, but I really want to get some radio up there. And the question just fell nowhere. They sent me an annual report. It was very beautiful. I don't know what it was supposed to inspire me to do. It wasn't the kind of thing that I would produce. I'd be more likely to write a blog post, and I would be sure that if I was telling people that it was their station, that I would be prepared to answer this question, because, and that's been the disconnect, and it's been the disconnect in software, it's been the disconnect in product development, virtually everywhere in the world, is a lack of feeling of unity between the people that design the product and the people who use the product. And really, that has led to some very big, glaring missed opportunities over the years. And in media especially, it's been more than missed opportunities. It's been failing to see that things have changed and what the implications of those changes are. And I just want to encourage you to pay attention to what Melody says, especially if you're inside of NPR. Because, and especially if you're like at the beginning of your career, like Melody is, and you're looking forward to many more years of being involved in public media, that why not get started on the future right now? Why wait? And this is my reverse pledge drive to you, is that you're sitting inside of an organization that isn't making the change that it needs to make. And the change is opening up the channel of the broadcast channel to the people who are listeners, to flip things around. This has been the challenge of the news industry. The news industry, New York Times, should have a way for everybody to contribute to the New York Times. And this changes their job from being the people who write the news to being the people, and it really doesn't change their job, but to people who collect the news and organize it in a useful way for people. That's the real service that a news organization does. If you stop and think about what a news report is and just really get down to what the components are, the reporter isn't actually really writing the story. What the reporter is doing is asking the experts what is going on and then telling you what they said. That's what a reporter does. So if you can make that more efficient, if you can optimize that, and broaden it and cover a lot more territory through the use of technology, why wouldn't you do it? And that's it. That's the question. Why aren't they doing it? And the answer is they're starting to. And that's the opportunity that we're seeing here now. And it was inevitable. You know, people, I hate to make it about age, but I think actually in some ways it actually is. When I said if you have a whole career, if you're at the beginning of your career, you have to look at things more in a different way than you do if you're sort of near the end of your career. It's just, you know, I'm 60 years old, and, you know, as I've said to my friend Naked Jen, I said, you know, Naked Jen, there's more runway behind us than there is ahead of us. She's a little bit younger than me, but she's kind of my age. You know, at 60, there's 60 years of runway behind me. That we know for sure. What we don't know for sure is how much more there is in front of me, but it's realistically, there's a lot less in front than there is behind. So when I think about things, maybe I'm a little bit different from most people my age. I tend to think about it like from the point of view of, well, it's a different thing. I'm going, well, I don't have that much time, so we really need to get on with this. I really want to participate in the change that's coming about. And if we wait a whole lot longer, I'm not going to get to do that. So that's my way of looking at it. If you're 30 years old, and I think that it's still how much is left is an unknown, and that's what's kind of great about it, because it is unknown. You get to help create what the future is. At 30, realistically speaking, there's a lot less behind you than there is in front of you, and you want to make the most of that, and you're thinking about what you're going to be doing for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and why wouldn't you want to get started with it as soon as possible when you see exactly where it's going? And this is where it's going. Let's see how much time have I used. 11 minutes. I'm going to go a little bit longer here. I think that public radio has an immediate advantage in podcasting that isn't going to last much longer. The serial podcast, they were lucky that happened inside of the NPR community. But if you listen to and I do listen to as many of the podcasts as I can, of what has grown up because of the serial podcast, I have a feeling that this is going to be a temporary advantage because serial caught on to something, but it isn't the only thing. And I think that they've misinterpreted a lot of the signals that came back from that. And I think there's too much personality out there in the podcasts. I think I don't really want to know about the personal lives of the people that are doing the podcasts. I really want to know what they know and what they've learned. And I really want more substance and less of their personalities. I guess the point being that there is so much more potential in the individuals that make up the people that give you your money than just giving you their money. They have lives, they have intellect, they have experience, and they have ideas. And if you want to see that community respond, then give them a chance, every one of them, give them a chance to contribute to the community in terms of programming. And you won't be sorry you did it. This is where we're headed. And so, thank you very much for listening, if you made it this far. And my blog is at scripting.com, and talk to you later. Bye-bye.